A happy and blessed Sabbath to one and all, and welcome to our youth and adult Sabbath school on this beautiful Sabbath. And welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel before our God before we get into our lesson this morning. Our dear precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care, the divine protection that you have over each one of us. We thank you, Father, for life. We thank you for allowing us to understand thy truth, and we pray that thy presence will be in our midst to grace us, to shower upon us the blessings from above, and especially to help us come closer to thee in knowledge and in truth. We pray that the presence of our Savior will be here as well, and the Holy Spirit. And please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. And thank you so much for doing so, and thank you, Godhead, for being here with us. Continue to speed and spread thy truth around the world, and especially don't pass us by, but fill our hearts with the light of truth and with thy love. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst on this wonderful Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing to read in our book, Steps to Christ, and the link is lightministries.com/ID624.htm. And we're down to chapter 9 that's entitled The Work and the Life. And we're all the way down to the bottom of page 81. And the paragraph is highlighted there, the first part of it, and it starts out, the greater part of our Savior's life. So that's where we'll start this morning. So the bottom of page 81 in Steps to Christ, chapter 9. The greater part of our Savior's life on earth was spent in patient toil in the carpenter's shop at Nazareth. Ministering angels attended the Lord of Life as he walked side by side with peasants and laborers, unrecognized and unhonored. He was as faithfully fulfilling his mission while working at his humble trade as when he healed the sick or walked upon the storm-tossed waves of Galilee. So while Jesus was doing his work to help support the family, to help make family life a pleasurable experience and a joy to be a part of, Christ was as much fulfilling his mission as when he was out ministering and healing the sick. So this shows us that being faithful in our household duties and responsibilities is just as important as it is to reach out to others with the message of salvation. It is fulfilling our purpose for being on this earth. It is helping others, whether in our family or outside of our family. And this is what Jesus showed us in his very life. And he is our example to follow. Continuing. So in the humblest duties and lowliest positions of life, we may walk and work with Jesus. And some may be thinking, well, how is it possible to actually be working with Jesus by washing the dishes or sweeping the floors or taking out the trash or picking up after ourselves? How is that working with Jesus? It's preparing your life to be a greater witness for Christ. If we're faithful in the little things, in our little responsibilities, then God will trust us with greater responsibilities. But if we're not faithful in the little duties, even those around the house, then God will not entrust us with the greater responsibilities of actually going out and witnessing for Him to others. So whatever comes across our way as far as responsibilities, let us not complain. Let us not grumble. Let us not look at it as being insignificant and unworthy of our action. But let us take it up with a smile on our face, knowing that by doing so, we're following the example of our Savior. And we're faithfully fulfilling our mission on this earth. And in being faithful in these little responsibilities, then we will also be faithful in the greater responsibilities. So in the humblest duties and lowliest positions of life, we may walk and work with Jesus in performing these. Continuing, the apostle says, let every man wherein he is called thereby abide with God. This is 1 Corinthians 7:24. The businessman may conduct his business in a way that will glorify his master because of his fidelity. If he is a true follower of Christ, he will carry his religion into everything that is done and reveal to men the Spirit of Christ. So if we're a true Christian, and we're also involved in a business, can we separate the two from each other? Can we go to work and be the businessman or the businesswoman, leaving Christ out of the picture, and then when we finish our business work, then we become a Christian and set aside our business? No. Let every man wherein he is called, whether in a business, whether as a worker, whether as an employee, let every person wherein he is called therein abide with God. We're not Christians just part of the time. We're Christians all of the time. God does not accept a divided heart. He only accepts a wholly given heart. So then if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, then we're to have Him with us when we go to work, when we come home, when we're with the family, when we're outside of the family, when we have free time, when we're occupied in doing something else. We're to carry Christ with us everywhere. Because each and every one of us are being watched by others, whether we realize it or not. And so if we truly carry Christ with us everywhere, then that means every single person that's watching us is going to see Christ revealed in us, no matter what we're doing. So if we are a true follower of Christ, we will carry our religion into everything that is done and reveal to men and women the Spirit of Christ through us. Continuing, the mechanic may be a diligent and faithful representative of him who toiled in the lowly walks of life among the hills of Galilee. Everyone who names the name of Christ should so work that others, by seeing his good works, may be led to glorify their Creator and Redeemer. So carry Christ Christ with you everywhere. Continuing, many have excused themselves from rendering their gifts to the service of Christ because others were possessed of superior endowments and advantages. The opinion has prevailed that only those who are especially talented are required to consecrate their abilities to the service of God. It has come to be understood by many that talents are given to only certain favored classes to the exclusion of others, who, of course, are not called upon to share in the toils or the rewards. But it is not so represented in the parable. When the master of the house called his servants, he gave to every man his work. So then each and every one of us are given by God special talents, whether it's one talent or two talents or many talents. And just because we may only have one talent, while those around us may have four or five, doesn't mean that we're being left out of the picture and that we have nothing to give in working for God. We have that one talent to use. And we need to use it, or it's going to be taken from us and we'll be lost. So, dear ones, there is no valid excuses that you can justify your inaction in not working for God. There is no valid excuses to remain inactive. Each and every one of us are to use the gifts that God has rendered to us and the work that He has given to us that no one else but us can do in working for Him, whether it's in the home life, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your work or job that you're a part of, or whether it's just going out into the community to witness for Christ, to pass out tracts, to talk to people on the street, to visit them in their homes, to send them an email, to call them on the phone, to write them a letter. There are so many ways that you can use the talents that God has given you for the Lord. When the master of the house, when Jesus Christ has called you to serve Him, to accept Him as your Savior, at that point in time, He gave to you your work. And He will enable you with all the grace and strength and power that you need to do that work and accomplish it for the glory of God. Are there any thoughts or comments before we move on, dear ones?
Yes, I think I will just make a quick little comment, because I find it's really a blessing to be able to even use the one talent or gift that we have. And I think that there are times when we can find ourselves looking at ourselves in our flesh instead of as the Lord sees us. And that, in a way, can discourage us from using the little gift that He has given us and the talent that He's given us. We should go ahead and just walk in it, even as you had said, dear brother. Whether we're a mechanic, or whether we're a florist, or whether we're a painter, or maybe we have a beautiful gift of writing something, or singing something, or just being a companion to someone who's lonely from time to time, we need to not be fearful or look at it as it's a nothing, and that it doesn't contribute to anything concerning the work for the Lord. We serve the Lord, it's just as it said. We We should take our talent and invest it very, very wisely and soberly, understanding that what we think is a little bit, the Lord adds to it abundantly. It just amazes me how the Lord really exponentially just multiplies what little we can do, and he multiplies it so greatly. And in the end, when we come into the kingdom, if by God's grace we make it, we'll be shown that because we were faithful in that one little gift, or faithful in the two little talents that we had, what the Lord is going to show us in the books of, because we did that, these came to me, and this one had hope and came to me, and this one, and so forth. So if we will do that, the kingdom would definitely grow by and large.
Amen. And that is true, brother. And you know, the devil is smart. He understands that if we use even just the one talent that we have, if we use it for the Lord, it will be greatly multiplied by our God. That one seed cast forth will bring back a hundredfold at times. And the devil realizes this. And so he tries to put barriers, stumbling blocks in our way to keep us from going forth and using that talent for God. Some of the stumbling blocks he puts in our way is he gets us to look at ourselves, like you were mentioning, saying, well, how can God possibly use me? I just have one small talent. And so the devil tempts you not even to use that. But God says, go forward and use what I've given you. Or the devil comes to us and he says, you know, look at what all those people are doing over in the foreign mission lands. Look at all the lost souls that they're reaching out to. And so he gets us to focus our attention on what other people are doing. And he gets us to long to do some great work such as they're doing. And then we neglect to do the small work that's around us because it's not something great. So that's another way that the devil keeps us from using our talents. He gets us to focus on others and what others are doing, and how we want to do some great thing for the Lord. And if we can't do some great thing, then we're not going to take up these small duties around us. So he gets us to be inactive in that as well. But we need to get our eyes off of what others are doing, and we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and focus them on Christ. And then obey him in performing the work that he has given us to do, whether that work is small, medium, or large. Let us be faithful in what we can do, and then God will increase our abilities to do more for him. But we have to show faithfulness in what we already have before we're going to be entrusted with more. So thank you, brother, for that point. So when the master of the house called his servants, when he called you to him, dear one, he gave to you your work. Continuing. With a loving spirit, we may perform life's humblest duties as to the Lord, which is Colossians 3:23. If the love of God is in the heart, it will be manifested in the life. The sweet savor of Christ will surround us, and our influence will elevate and bless. So even in the humblest duties in the home, we can perform these duties with faithfulness as unto the Lord. And if the love of God is in our heart, then it will be manifested in the life. It will be manifested as we're doing the dishes or sweeping the floor or taking out the trash. And thus it will be manifested to all the rest of the family members. And it will encourage them. It will elevate them. It will bless them. Because Christ is being revealed through you to them. The sweet savor of Christ will surround you, dear one, and your influence will elevate and bless others. Just performing the smallest, humblest duties as to the Lord will bless those around you, and it will bless your heart as well. So don't grumble and complain because you can't do some great thing for the Lord. But take up the humblest duties around you. Be faithful in the responsibilities that you have. And you will be a blessing. You will be working for Christ by doing those things. And may have an even greater effect on the hearts of others than the greatest preacher could ever do through a sermon. Because you have God blessing your efforts. And with the miracle-working God behind you, blessing your efforts, then great results will occur. Continuing, you are not to wait for great occasions or to expect extraordinary abilities before you go to work for God. You need not have a thought of what the world will think of you. If your daily life is a testimony to the purity and sincerity of your faith, and others are convinced that you desire to benefit them, your efforts will not be wholly lost. So don't wait for some great occasion to occur before you faithfully perform your work. And don't wait for other talents to be given you before you go to work. And don't worry what others will think of you if you perform your duties faithfully. Just go to work. Work as unto the Lord, and your efforts will not be lost. They will have effect. Last paragraph. The humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. Not just the rich and wealthy. Not just the popular and well-talented, but the humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. Even they have a work to do for God. No one is left out. Everyone has been given their work to do. Continuing, they may not realize that they are doing any special good, but by their unconscious influence, they may start waves of blessing that will widen and deepen, and the blessed results they may never know until the day of final reward. So you may never know that in faithfully performing your duties, with a smile on your face, with joy in your heart, because you're doing it as to the Lord, it's the work that He has given you to perform. And in performing it with fidelity to the best of your ability, you are honoring your God. And in doing this work, we may never realize what effect it's having on others. But that doesn't mean we give it up because we don't see any results. Continue to be faithful in the work that God has given you to do for Him. And even though you may not know that others are watching you, you may not see any positive results from the family members around you. You may not know the blessings that you have caused to widen and deepen and spread far and wide until you make it to heaven and can see back on the blessings that your example brought to others. Even though you may not know any of this until afterwards, doesn't mean you're to quit. It doesn't mean that you're to give it up and go back to your old grumbling man or woman experience. You're to do it unto the Lord, being faithful to Him, and that is all of the time, whether you see good results or not. Be faithful to the Lord in season, out of season, when you're in the home, whether you're outside in public, whether you're by yourself. Be faithful to the Lord at all times, and you will be blessed multiple times because of your faithfulness. Even though others may not recognize it, God sees what you're doing. And God takes note of your faithfulness. And God never forgets. He will bless you and reward you for your faithfulness to Him. So the humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. They may not realize that they're doing any special good, but their influence may start waves of blessing that will continue to widen and deepen and spread far and wide. And the blessed results they may not realize until the day of final reward comes. Continuing, they do not feel or know that they are doing anything great. They are not required to weary themselves with anxiety about success. They have only to go forward quietly, doing faithfully the work that God's providence assigns, and their life will not be in vain. So even the poorest of Christ's disciples, by being faithful in the responsibilities that He has given them, their life will not be in vain. It will accomplish the good that God proposes through them. So they didn't have to become rich or well off before they could work for the Lord and have influence on others. They had influence on others while they were still poor. So then whatever position or condition we're in when God calls us to work for Him, work for God. Leave the results with God. And He will bring about blessings to you and to others around you. Continuing, their own souls will be growing more and more into the likeness of Christ. They are workers together with God in this life. What's our goal, dear ones? To be workers together with God. If you love God and you want to serve God, then it doesn't matter what work He gives you to do. It's a work that God, your loving Father, has given you. And in doing the work, you are doing the will of God. You are a co-laborer with God. Just as much as Christ was laboring for His Father when He was working in the carpenter shop, He was faithfully performing the responsibilities that He had at that time. And He knew in being faithful in that work, He was fulfilling the will of God for Him at that time. So whatever work God's given you to do, do it faithfully, because you are working together with God in this life in doing so. And, continuing, and you are thus fitting for the higher work and the unshadowed joy of the life to come. So being faithful in your responsibilities, your souls will be growing more and more into the likeness of Christ. You will be laborers and workers together with God in this life. And thus you will be fitting yourself for the higher work and the unshadowed joy of the life to come in the kingdom of God. And all of this future glory starts with being faithful in the little things. Are there any comments or any questions, any thoughts before we move on to chapter 10 now? Please go right ahead.
I'm just very rejoiced in heart, and it's very encouraging, actually, when we really ponder this. I have to say it. It's really, really rejoicing in the heart to know that our Heavenly Father will, if we, and there's a part in there, you know, we have to do our part. We will yield ourselves to be obedient and diligent in the little tasks that He gives us. The joy that He is going to give us in our obedience cannot even begin to be measured if we endure to the end. And be obedient to the end, and be faithful to the end, and even that little thing. Because what shall we gain? I mean, when I stop and think about this, and in the perspective that it's put, if I'm just a little janitor doing my little sweeping and cleaning for the Lord, in my heart I'm doing it with great joy, and as I pass someone I can share Christ as I can, but and even if no one's around, if I should do that up until the day that I die, diligently serving my Lord in that little thing, what rejoicing I would have in the end. What joy I would have in the end. Because I will be with my God. For being obedient and faithful in that little area of sweeping and mopping and dusting and whatever it may be, which may seem so low to who knows how many. But I'm rejoicing in my heart, doing it as unto the Lord. And because of that faithfulness, up until the end, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So I sweep, I mop, I dust, I clean, or I change the oil of cars, and as I can, I pass out Christ in word and in deed. And if faithful, that's why this is it's very encouraging, and it's a good boost to the heart to really ponder this very, very, very soberly, and to not look at whatever little work that the Lord has us doing, look at it in any other way than an honor and a privilege. And we really need to take it as that. Whatever talent or gift that the Lord has given, it's an honor and a privilege to exercise it to its fullest so that our Lord may be glorified. And He will rejoice us in our hearts, and we will be rejoicing unto Him, and others will be blessed. So, well, I just wanted to share that.
Amen, and thank you, brother. So we're in chapter 10 now, and chapter 10 is entitled A Knowledge of God, and it's on page 85, A Knowledge of God. Many are the ways in which God is seeking to make Himself known to us and bring us into communion with Him. Nature speaks to our senses without ceasing. The open heart will be impressed with the love and glory of God as revealed through the works of His hands. The listening ear can hear and understand the communications of God through the things of nature. The green fields, the lofty trees, the buds and flowers, the passing cloud, the falling rain, the babbling brook, the glories of the heavens, speak to our hearts and invite us to become acquainted with Him who made them all. So everything in nature, all the created works of God, speaks to our senses without ceasing, whether it's in the early morning and throughout the day or in the night or whenever it is. Everything speaks of the glory of God and reveals to us that there is indeed a God. Continuing, our Savior bound up His precious lessons with the things of nature. The trees, the birds, the flowers of the valleys, the hills, the lakes, the beautiful heavens, as well as the incidents and surroundings of daily life, were all linked with the words of truth, that His lessons might thus be often recalled to mind, even amid the busy cares of man's life of toil. God would have His children appreciate His works and delight in the simple, quiet beauty with which He has adorned our earthly home. He is a lover of the beautiful, and above all that is outwardly attractive, He loves beauty of character. He would have us cultivate purity and simplicity, the quiet graces of the flowers. So what do the flowers teach us, dear ones? They teach us purity and simplicity. When a rose is planted in the ground, where do its roots end up going into? It goes into the black, brown, sooty earth. But what is enabled to be produced on the plant that's connected with the earth? A beautiful flower. The earth doesn't smell like the fragrance of the rose. Where does that fragrance come from? How does something so beautiful come out of the dark soil of the earth? What does all of this mean? What is God trying to teach us through this? Christ told His Father, "Please don't take my people out of the world, but keep them from the evil in the world." So even though at this point in time, each and every one of us are on this wicked world, Yet we don't have to be like the world. We don't have to look like the earth. We can instead be like a rose, to reflect the beautiful character of our Savior, to have an influence on others that is uplifting and righteous and wonderful, just like the fragrance that comes out of the flower. Everything in nature is an object lesson, dear ones, to point us upward to God. And just like no two flowers are the same, even in the same species, there's differences between them. So each and every one of us are different. We have a different way of reflecting the glory of God, but each and every one of us are called to do that. So the green fields, the lofty trees, the buds and flowers, the passing cloud, the falling rain, the brooks of waters, the streams, the lakes, the rivers, the stars of the heavens, all speak to our hearts and invite us to become acquainted with God who made them all. Continuing, God would have his children appreciate his works and delight in the simple, quiet beauty which he has adorned our earthly home. He is a lover of the beautiful, and above all that is outwardly attractive, he loves beauty of character. And he would have us cultivate purity and simplicity, the quiet graces of the flowers. If we will but listen, God's created works will teach us precious lessons of obedience and trust. How does nature teach us obedience and trust? Anybody have any thoughts on this?
Just giving a little of my two cents. I mean, when you think about how the sun is always there, it always wakes us up in the morning. Or the moon always comes out in the evening, or the stars are always brilliantly shining. All are giving, like, their praise to the Lord. And they're being obedient in that they consistently are there. It's like we don't even think that maybe one day they might not be there. They always are there. And so perhaps maybe that's, in a way, how they are showing, their obedience to Christ.
Amen. And also, when it comes to even farming, when you put the seed in the ground, you really don't know what is going to be the outcome. And we need to trust and obey the laws of nature to water it and to do the generated principle. And eventually, we will see what is hid inside of the seed in the ground, but it takes that trust and obedience that it will come forth according to God. Good timing.
And I look at also the ways in which even the little animals live, and take birds for instance. They have to rely and trust their Heavenly Father to feed them. They go forth, they have their little baby birds, they have to fly about and look for the food, and there's no other way that they're going to find it unless the Lord provides it. So, but they just go forth and they do it. So, so I guess that's another way too.
All those are excellent points. And it's true. It's not just with one bird. It's with all the birds across the world. Each and every day, God is providing them with food. And he doesn't deliver it to them in their nests. They have to go searching for it. But as they search for it, they will find. How is it with us, dear ones? Christ says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's the same object lesson, dear ones. God provides for the birds each and every day. God provides for you and me each and every day. In regards to the sun and the moon and the stars that Sister Lynn was bringing up, they manifest perfect obedience to their Creator. And in perfectly obeying God, in fulfilling the responsibilities for which they were created to do, they bless others in their faithful performance of their duties. What would happen if the sun decided that it wasn't going to follow God's purposes for it? That it wasn't going to obey Him. It was going to rebel. What would happen? The plants would soon die because there's no photosynthesis going on to keep their cells producing the sugars that they need to live on and grow. The earth wouldn't be warmed and would soon become a frigid place. Soon humanity would die. And if the sun chose to wander away from its course, it becomes a fallen star. What happens to stars that fall? They become very brilliant for a short time, and then they go out in darkness. Dear ones, all of these are object lessons showing us that in whatever position or condition we're in, that God has called us to work for Him, we're to be faithful in that position. We're to obey Him each and every day with fidelity, with joy and happiness that we're fulfilling the will of Him who called us into existence. And by doing so, we're being a blessing to others around us. But if we decide that we're not going to obey God, then we can't be a blessing to others. And even though self may rise up in prominence and make us very bright, shining to others around us, pretty soon we're going to fall and become nothing more than darkness. So everything in nature has its work, whether it's big or small. And everything in nature is fulfilling the purpose of God in faithful obedience to Him. And if it rebels against Him, if it goes away from the purpose for which it was created, it soon goes out in darkness and is lost. The same will happen to you and me, dear ones. So if we will but listen, God's created works will teach us precious lessons of obedience and trust. From the stars that in their trackless courses through space follow from age to age their appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. And God cares for everything and sustains everything that He has created. He who upholds the unnumbered worlds throughout immensity at the same time cares for the wants of the little brown sparrow that sings its humble song without fear. A sparrow has a pretty nice tune to sing, but it's not as majestic as some of the other birds. But it doesn't care. It's fulfilling the purpose for which it was created, and it sings its humble song with joy, without fear. Let us do the same, dear ones. Let us do the work that God has put us in at this point in time with faithfulness and joy in our heart, without fear. And we'll be blessed. Continuing, when men go forth to their daily toil, as when they engage in prayer, when they lie down at night and when they rise in the morning, when the rich man feasts in his palace and when the poor man gathers his children about the scanty board, each is tenderly watched by the Heavenly Father. No tears are shed that God does not notice. There is no smile that He does not mark. God sees it all. If we would but fully believe this, all undue anxieties would be dismissed. Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment as now. For everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hands of God, who is not perplexed by the multiplicity of cares, or overwhelmed by their weight. We should then enjoy a rest of soul to which many have long been strangers. So if we truly realize that God sees it all, that He notices every time we cry, and He's tenderly upholding us when we do, and He also notices what everyone is doing against His faithful followers, and He's taking steps to make sure it only goes so far but no further, and He's already putting into plans ways to deal with those that come against God's people, to try and wake them up, even if it's by bringing them down. And God also sees every time that we're happy and overjoyed. He marks everything. He notices everything. So we're not alone. We're not forgotten. We're not lost. Our God sees what's taking place, and He's with us to help us endure. So if we really understand this, there should be an internal peace that passeth all understanding in our hearts. We will no longer grumble or complain. We won't be anxious. We won't worry. Because we know God is in control. And we'll also know that our God loves us. And He knows us so well as a faithful Father that He's even taken the time to count the number of hairs that we have on our head, whether that is many or few. That's how much God cares for you, dear one. He is truly a tender-hearted, merciful, and loving Father. So trust Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, and He will sustain you. Amen. Amen. Someone put into the room the hymn, God will take care of you. And that is true, dear sister. He will. In every way, throughout every day, God will take care of you because He loves you. You are His child, His precious son and daughter. So let us remember in this coming week to faithfully fulfill the duties, whether great or small, that God has given to each one of us to perform. And in performing it faithfully as unto the Lord, you are fulfilling His will in your life. You are living up to the talents that He has given you. And you will be a blessing to those around you. And God will bless you for your faithfulness. Let us please bow our heads in closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being so tender-hearted and loving to each one of us. We thank You for not forsaking us or rewarding us to the full extent of what our sins and rebellion against You deserve. But You have even lessened these punishments and have been willing to forgive us of all of our sins and trespasses against You by accepting the blood and righteousness of Your Son in our place. And dear Savior, thank You for giving us the various talents and gifts that You have, whether these are few or many. And please give us the grace and the strength as well as the contentment of heart to fulfill these faithfully and thus witness for Thee to all those around us. Please help us to cast all of our care upon You as our burden bearer. And thank You, Savior, for being our elder brother, for leading and guiding us into all truth, and for protecting us as we continue to serve Thee throughout each moment of each day. Please fill us with the joy of Thy salvation. Take away all complaints, all anxiety, and help us to rest in Thy love and to look up and live. Again, thank You for being here in our midst, and please continue to dwell with us throughout the remaining church services today. And thank You for being our God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, let us take 5 minutes, and then we will come back at 11:07 for our main church service.